Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the council meeting of the 27th of August 2019. Nudlu Tampendi Gana Mayana Yaitya Matana Yaitya Yerita. We acknowledge the Kaurna people, the traditional custodians of this land, and we pay our respects to their elders past and present. All persons in attendance are advised that the audio of this general council meeting will be recorded and will be made available on the City of Marion website. Members, I call for any declarations of interest in regard to any items for the agenda this evening. That being the case, it looks like there's none. I call for confirmation of the previous minutes of the 13th of August 2019. I have a mover in Councillor Masika. Did you want to speak at all, Councillor Masika? No. Seconder, Councillor Schilling. All those in favour? I declare that carried unanimously. Thank you. This being the last council meeting of the month, we typically allow a verbal communication report from all members. Sorry, no, before we get to that, let's do our mayoral, deputy mayoral, CEO, executive communications reports, which are in your agenda there. Do I have a mover for them? Councillor Hutchinson. Seconder, Councillor Pryor. All those in favour? I declare that carried unanimously. Thank you. Before we get into the verbal communications, I'd actually like to seek leave to adjust the order of proceedings this evening in relation to the cat curfew bylaw, which I know we have a few members of the gallery here for this evening as well. I think the way that I'd like to handle it, and I'll seek leave in a moment, is to hold the deputation from the RSPCA first, followed by the community consultation item, which is a bit deeper within the agenda, that's the public item, followed by the bylaw update and legal advice, which is at this point listed as a confidential matter. Do I have leave to be able to move that way? Thank you, Councillor Volitsky. No? Yes, of course. Well, I think given the fact that I think it's probably wise to consider the public consultation before we actually consider the bylaw. So therefore, I think we should be doing it the other way around. The public consultation is, well, in theory, it is a noting, an item for noting. So it's really just noting the consultation that we've previously done on the item, and then, you know, with the benefit of the knowledge from that consultation, we can then go into the confidential matter. Councillor Hull, you have a question?
Two meetings in a row I've had reasonable cause to ask why are we dealing with an item in confidence?
And we can do that when we... Councillor Hull, we can...
cats.
Yeah, Councillor Hull, we can do
can
that...
be possibly confidential about a pussy?
We can deal with that when we get to it, Councillor Hull. We're not actually at that point in the agenda right now.
Well, if you can flag that as...
Yeah, absolutely.
I want a genuine answer, apart from the fact that there's legal advice involved. That's not going to cut it.
Well, that is the advice, and when we do receive legal advice from our various lawyers that we employ, it is a confidential matter when it comes to council.
Is that a request from the lawyers, or is that something that we...
That's within the Local Government Act.
Sorry?
It's within the Act.
Have we ever asked the lawyers as to whether they're comfortable with their advice that the ratepayers are paid for to become public?
It's within the Act. It's because we need to consider the advice that's given to us.
It sounds a bit like the vibe.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's get to that when we get to that matter in that part of the agenda, Councillor. So I seek leave to move to adjust the agenda in that way. Yep, thank you. Without any dissenters, I take that as leave being granted. Thank you. Members, we are at the, as I mentioned before, we are at the second meeting of the month, which means that we do have the opportunity to go around the chamber and have verbal updates from an elected member perspective. So if I can, I'll start with Councillor Crosland. Is there anything you wish to say? Councillor Gard.
Deputy Mayor, thank you for this opportunity. I must be forgiven for not remembering the actual name of the recital, but one of the most moving occasions that I've experienced as a councillor in my short period on council has been attending the recital for vision impaired and intellectually impaired children at the Cultural Centre earlier this month or late last month, which involved the conversion of a book, Fancy Pants, into a musical, which was done in very, very quick time, and it was backed by highly professional people, one or two of them internationally. It was also backed financially by this council, and I just wanted to commend everybody who supported that, because it was palpable, the actual result. To see the reaction of the children and the reaction of those that were guardians of the children and friends was just absolutely incredible. It was one of the better moments, I could say, of my life. Very, very enlightening and very moving. So I'd certainly want to thank our council for supporting it, as was done publicly on that occasion. But I'd also recommend that if anybody sees such a an event pop up again in the future, don't miss it, because it really is rewarding, and it's just so great for the kids. You could actually almost see their development in the short hour that it all took place. It was incredible.
Thank you, Councillor Garr. Councillor Duncan? No, Councillor Schilling? Councillor Hutchinson? Councillor Telfer?
I'd just like to comment that there's a lot of planning and work going into the Flinders Link, and there's works happening near Sturt Road into Tonsley, where they're beginning to build and construct over there. So we look forward to this developing. It creates the issues of Birch Terrace, how it's going to link through to the old Mitsubishi site, the new Tonsley MAB site.
Thank you, Councillor Telfer. Councillor Hull?
Thank you, Mr Acting Mayor. Oaklands Crossing, members might remember that we actually passed a motion to write to the appropriate MP and also the Minister to indicate our objection to the LED billboard. That's gone up. And the community may well ask me as to how that come to be. I don't have an answer for it. Given the $10 million that this council spent on that project in terms of landscaping, it really is unfortunate, is the best way that I can put it, that the government has seen fit to retain the existing billboard and also build this new black LED billboard in an area that we've invested so much money in. It really is very unfortunate, is probably the kindest way I can put it. As I said at the last meeting, given that the area has been denuded of the major trees, these billboards now stand out, and it actually aggravates the very issue that I'm talking about. A couple of quick issues in regards to our relationship with the Kaurna community. I did attend the repatriation ceremony at Kingston Park, along with the mayor, and one of our staff was there as well, which was great. It was also a very moving ceremony, and it does give rise to the possibility of repatriations happening within the city of Marion. I know staff are having some tentative discussions about that, which is really pleasing. And lastly, in terms of the LKCC, we have the band is back together, so to speak, and we have met. It is promising. However, at that meeting, I want to stress to you all, and Councillor Crosland was there, that I did push strongly, and I will continue to push strongly, for project management and some semblance of timeline, so we actually have some target. We might not hit the target, but at least we should have a target. So I did mention a Gantt chart, so we can actually see where we are at any point in time and where we want to be. But everybody there should understand the the joint and mutual benefit of the project and the fact that it does need some priority and attention. And I think that I just get the impression that was understood. I hope so.
Thank you, Councillor Hull. Councillor Pryor, Councillor Clancy, Councillor Velescu, Councillor Masika? No. Members, I've actually got a verbal update myself to give tonight. Members, according to my records, tonight is the 178th General Council meeting that I've attended, and it's also the last. At 5 p.m. tonight, I met with the CEO, as per under Section 54, Part 3 of the Local Government Act, and I issued him with my resignation, effective as at 11:59 p.m. on the 10th of September 2019. So the maximum notice period that I'm allowed to provide under the Act is a fortnight, which is precisely what I have provided. That's the maximum I'm allowed to provide. Members, it's with deeply mixed emotions that I've made this difficult decision to resign. The truth is, I've accepted an exciting executive level employment opportunity that's not based in Adelaide, and it will require me to relocate. It effectively therefore precludes me from continuing on within my elected role. I'm not yet able to mention exactly what I'm doing or where I'm going, because it hasn't been announced within that organisation. It should be done within the next 48 hours or so. However, suffice to say, whilst I'm feeling bitterly disappointed about not continuing on with the City of Marion, I am very excited about my new venture. Members, I will leave the City of Marion with a profound sense of pride and satisfaction. I've devoted 9 years of my life to this great community, and while I won't get my name on the honour board out in the foyer, I am extremely proud to have been involved in what I consider to be the City of Marion's golden era. Members, some of my favourite milestones from the past 9 years that we as a team have achieved, this is not my milestones, there's team milestones that we've achieved, have included the $14 million redevelopment of City Services, the $9 million redevelopment of Edwardstown Oval, the delivery of the Glandore Laneways, the $10 million development of the Cove Civic Centre, apologies, the development of the Jervois Street Reserve, the continued development of the Railway Terrace streetscape and bikeway, which is going on right as we speak, the delivery of a home for the Edwardstown Rotary Bookshop and the City of Marion Band, the delivery of the Marion sections of the Mike Turter Bikeway, the delivery of the Oaklands Wetlands and the commercial contract to supply recycled water to Tonsley for the next 50 years, the collaboration to deliver the $170 million Oaklands Crossing, which Councillor Hull mentioned just before, the delivery of the state's first inclusive play space, and the commencement of the treescape and streetscape programs. All of these things have been significant individually, and I think as a team, I'm very proud of what we've done, and I think you can be too. Members, all of these things have been achieved whilst we have successfully reduced rate rises and we have made significant and substantial savings. The disciplined approach that has resulted in the ongoing surpluses, low debt levels and the capacity to cash fund many of our strategic priorities. Members, and I know I'm banging on a little bit here, but I'll keep going for a little bit longer. I think I've earned the right tonight. The past 9 years have also been an incredible learning experience with some tremendously good friends around me. I've distilled a few of these learnings into what I consider sort of the five key learnings that I've come up with over the last 9 years. First, always do the right thing, even if no one is watching, and especially if no one is watching. The second, be kind, be self-reflective, seek constructive criticism, and enable the success of others. Number three, look at the whole chessboard. Rise above the day-to-day issues and look out to the horizon. Number four, and I was known for this, for saying this in my first term, do it right the first time. And number five, and this is the one that I would like to stay with you, and I'd like this to be almost a legacy that you continue on with, is to do what is hard and achieve what is great. A few thank yous. I'd like to thank our tireless staff who week after week provide their professional judgment to enable us to make sound decisions. And particularly the staff who sit up here on this table week after week after week. You do an exceptional job. And a very, very special thank you to our exceptional CEO who has been a real mentor to me for many years. A thank you to you, to the elected body, who week after week bring that passion and bring that drive. And I'm looking forward to another meeting tonight where I'm seeing that passion and that drive. A thank you to my family, to my council widow wife, Belinda, who's actually in the gallery this evening. Harry, my eldest son, who was 12 months old when I was first elected to council. He's about to have his 10th birthday. Angus and Elise, who were both born during my term on council. Angus is nearly 7 and Elise is 5. And all three of them have grown up hearing that Dad has to go to a council thing. It's the families that struggle, and it's the families that suffer through this, and it's the families who actually make it possible. Finally, a thank you to our brilliant local community who, for the last 9 years and through 3 elections successfully, has placed its trust in me for so many years, and it is with a deep love that I have for that community. It really has been a true honour to represent you. Members, I wish you all the very best for the years ahead. I know that the City of Marion is in very safe hands. Thank you. Adjourned items, we have none. Deputations, we have a deputation request from Mr. Mahan Raisi from the Australian Wide Recyclers Group. Now, this request was denied by the Mayor. There was no matter scheduled for tonight in terms of the agenda, and I believe that there is actually a management response being considered in regard to that matter at the moment. Our other deputation was listed from being Mr. Tim Charles from the RSPCA in regard to the cat curfew, but I believe we have Mr. Paul Stevenson, is that correct? excuse me. Mr. Stevenson, if you'd like to step forward. Under our meeting regulations, Under our meeting regulations, you have 5 minutes to speak, which includes question time as well, if you wish to accept questions as well. Thank you very much.
Very good. Good evening. Thanks for the opportunity of coming along tonight. Look, it's not my intention tonight to just go over our submission. We did provide a submission in response to a proposed bylaw where we've made actually 10 recommendations from our experience. The bylaw as it stands does have concerns for RSPCA in terms of animal welfare issues. The main reason I'm here tonight, though, is to say because we've got concerns and we've made recommendations, we still want to strongly encourage the council to pursue cat management. I think we all understand that there's a cat overpopulation challenge in South Australia. Very much not being controlled. South Australia lags other states in Australia in starting to address the issue of cat overpopulation. We've done a really good job with dogs. Dogs are actually very much stray dogs coming under control, and we need to put in a lot of those measures. But cats are more complicated, and it is going to take time, and it needs a widespread, comprehensive plan. And we see sort of council struggling a little bit with what to do, and it's a bit of a piecemeal approach at present with individual councils. We really do need to see a comprehensive statewide plan implemented. So the real key part that I'm trying to get to is please persevere with cat management. It needs to happen. We've just got to tune up what you're proposing to do a little bit, but then I think it's certainly something that the Marion Council should be commended on in taking this action. Right now, realistically, when we look at cat management, AWL and the RSPCA carry the bulk of the burden. Together, we're taking in over 10,000 stray cats a year. It's costing us over $5 million a year managing these cats. Now, frankly, from two charities' perspective, that's just not sustainable. So we've got to start doing something about it. We've got to address the root causes, the uncontrolled reproduction of cats, but we have to make sure we're doing this very humanely, with due respect for cats as sentient living animals. So that's the key part that I wanted to say. We've got concerns in the way it is at present, but we definitely want to encourage not just Marion Council, but frankly all councils, to continue to pursue and look at opportunities to really try to get cat overpopulation under control. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Stevenson. Would you be prepared to take a few questions?
Certainly.
Of course. Councillor Hull?
Thank you for coming along tonight and imparting knowledge to us. And the 10,000 figure was quite interesting and alarming. Sir, I've been banging the drum about cats in this place for probably 20 years or more. And to say it needs more time is starting to cause me anxiety. I hope you understand that in context.
Yep.
To say that council's struggling is a fair comment. So the first question, I've got two questions, Mr. Acting Mayor. The first question relates to the LGA. As a peak level player in this, can you enlighten council as to where the LGA is on this and what assistance the LGA has provided you and what attempts you've made to enlighten the LGA about this problem?
Hmm. Understanding that councils are struggling, we believe councils need some help. And I mentioned in my submission that we are developing a cat management plan for South Australia. Now, in fact, it's something we were hoping to release it in August, but we've actually engaged with the AWL and we'll be releasing in the next couple of months what will be a joint plan. Given that, I think it's fair to say we know more about cat management than anyone else in South Australia, given our experience in there. That plan's going to be quite comprehensive. And the point that we'll be emphasising is that it's not a menu of items, it's a whole set of things that have to be done together if it's going to be effective. Right now we see elements of, you know, Gawler Council detention, self-curfews, Mitcham Council's taken some measures. None of those are actually proving to be effective because none of these things in isolation will be. We need that comprehensive plan. Now, the LGA, we have had some interaction with, but at some point we believe, and it's more a point of working through the government. Next year, the Dog and Cat Management Act is up for review, and we're making submissions now, next week even, to the Dog and Cat Management Board and through the appropriate minister, that it has to be a focus on cat management now. So we haven't directly had a lot to do with the LGA as such, because we think that's the next level down of stakeholder engagement that we'll be going to.
Thank you. You might be surprised that it was actually the minister who's also an MP in this council area that told us...
Councillor, is this another question? We're out of time. We do have two other members wanting to ask questions.
That we needed to develop our own bylaws. Yeah. So the last question I have is that you have this focus on cat welfare. Okay. What about wildlife welfare?
Absolutely. Yep.
You know, like, yeah. What weight do you give to both? Or do you give any weight to wildlife at all?
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's... The really sad part about this is that we're in a situation where we've got an introduced species to Australia, and unfortunately, certainly in native environments, natural environments, our policy is that as feral animals, cats unfortunately have to be culled and euthanised humanely. And for an organisation like RSPCA that, you know, our remit is all animals, all creatures. It's very difficult, but we still respect the notion that our native animal populations need protection. And it's unfortunate, but really currently the only way we can protect those animals is by culling, again, sentient living creatures. So some sentient living creatures have to die to protect our native animal populations. And we certainly, that's RSPCA policy nationally, that we support that proposal. But it is always a concern that cats somehow get vilified, you know, and are seen as low-value animals, and that's the part we need to protect about. If we have to do some of these measures, let's just do it with respect for those animals as well.
Thank you, Councillor Gard. I had Councillor Gard and Councillor Valescu. I think we do need to keep it relatively quick. Was there anyone else on adding to that list? No? Okay, Councillor Gard.
Mr. Stevenson, it's very good that you were able to attend tonight. It's a very important subject. I personally am a long-time cat owner, and I see both cases. There's real polarisation between cat owners and non-cat owners. One question I had for you, and it came from the feedback from a veterinary nurse who is also an avid cat lover and owner, and she was in favour of the management that we're looking at, very much in favour, and she said one of the things that convinced her was the incidence of FIV, which is the animal parallel to HIV, which of course the feral cats particularly tend to transfer to domesticised cats.
Councillor Gard, are we getting close to a question?
We are. So I'm just wondering if the Royal Society for the Prevention for Cruelty to Animals, and I'd like to actually make that bold heading, it's not just the RSPCA as everyone calls it, but it is about prevention of cruelty to animals, what their feeling is about the fact that maybe as much as 50% of the loose cat population out there are unaccounted for cats. Okay. And where does that fit in the context of FIV and the impact that that dreadful disease has on cats and, of course, their loving owners?
Yep. One of the problems we've got, frankly, is that we just don't know how many cats there are out there. RSPCA and broadly now the categorisation of cats are domestic cats and feral cats. But feral cats we don't often see in the cities. We're seeing domestic cat categories, and I mentioned in the submission being divided between owned, semi-owned and unowned. So there's a degree of socialisation in there. But nonetheless, the health issues associated with cats are worse when you've got unowned cats. So the whole point of our cat management plan and cat management is getting cats as an introduced companion animal species with owners. Our basic line is every cat deserves a responsible owner. And until we get to that point, we won't have cat management under control or be addressing those sorts of issues in terms of disease management.
Thank you. Councillor Valescu, last one.
Yeah, my question is based on some of the comments in the feedback. What's the RSPCA's view on managing nuisance behaviour from owned and semi-owned cats?
Yeah, from the owned. It's nuisance behaviour often comes from cats is worse with cats that are not desexed. The fighting, the spraying, the calling out at night. Now, the studies overseas where they've had large-scale desexing programs have shown that there's a very significant reduction in nuisance complaints related to that. Nonetheless, there's a basic respect for private property that has to be taken into account as well. People now, with that concept of responsible dog ownership, understand that you need to keep your dog on your property. That wasn't always the case. When I was a kid, I went to school and all the dogs would trail along behind you. But that doesn't happen anymore because people know they have to keep their dogs on their property. We're a long, long way away from that with cats. It's more difficult to do. And that's part of what we need to work for. And to the point earlier when I said that this will take time, we need to make decisions now. We need to start taking actions now. But the implementation and the effect will take some time. It's taken us 20 years to get dogs under control. It's going to take as long as that to get cats under control as well.
Thank you very much, Mr. Stevenson. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thank you. Members, as you granted me leave earlier on to change the order very marginally, so I'll now jump through to the cat curfew community consultation, which for your reference is page 88 in your agenda. As you're aware, last December we put this out to our potential cat bylaw out to public consultation and have received quite a reasonable response back. This is the result. So what we're being asked to do this evening within the recommendation is to receive and note the report. I'm sure there'll be could well be a little bit of discussion on it as well, but please keep in mind that we are effectively just noting the report. Do I have a mover for Councillor Velescu?
Yeah, I'm happy to note the report. I won't make too many comments. It is pretty clear that the majority of respondents do want some sort of cat management, and they are quite a majority appear to be in favour of our attempts to confine cats. I think some of the points to realise here is that the issues and the problems are not just in the cat curfew period. And I think the comments made by the gentleman from the RSPCA about actually people having responsibility and where their cat is on their property, keeping their cat on their property, is an important one. I do know it is something unpleasant for people when they do have cats doing things they shouldn't on their property, and I think we need to take that into account. This isn't by any means looking to cause problems for cats or to hurt them, but I think we do need to take into account that people have to have that responsibility for their four-legged friends.
Thank you, Councillor Velescu. Councillor Crosland, are you happy to second?
I'm happy to second that, Deputy Mayor, and also just echo Councillor Velescu said there was a fairly strong support for the bylaw. What was interesting was a lot of people saying we're not going far enough, we should be looking at 24/7 or looking at what other states do and go sunset, sunrise as a consideration.
Thank you, Councillor Crosland. Were there any speakers against this motion to note it? Councillor Duncan, you look anxious to say something.
I was against it in the beginning and I'm still against, not that noting it, but the cat curfew altogether, because I think it penalises all of the responsible cat owners. Most of the cat owners are responsible, it's only a small percentage that are not, and it's everybody's going to be penalised instead of just a few. I also found, talking to someone a week ago, that there are cats going missing and dogs going missing in Trott Park in the last 2 months, and it's not the feral cats that are going missing, it's the domestic cats. And I'm concerned about the issue where it says council officer can capture, detain and destroy. A lot of people will not see council officer. They think it will give them free rein to do whatever they like, and I don't agree that any animal should be cruelly put down, regardless.
Thank you, Councillor Duncan. Councillor Hull, are you speaking against? Yeah, that's true. Yeah, okay. Speaking for?
Just very quickly, I mentioned the amount of time that I've had concerns about this, and really, we're actually at a really pointy end now. And the remarkable thing is the palpable change from the community over that period. It's now palpable. There is a mood for change. There's an acceptance. And if you are a responsible cat owner, you have nothing to fear, because your cat will be on your property. If your cat's on your property or in your home, there is nothing to fear. Nobody's going to come into your property and take your cat away. That's just not part of our brief at all. And if the cat is apprehended at the moment, the cat will be dealt with by the RSPCA in a very humane way, as you've heard tonight. Our council officers aren't going to be going around euthanising cats in the street. They've got better things to do. So, that's it in a nutshell. There is this palpable need for change. I went to the last election with this in my election material, that this is what I intended to do. I'm here. I'm still here. And obviously, in the face of adversity and the cap curfew, I prevail. And I'm glad I'm here to actually push this a bit further. Something tells me that if we do have to work through some more legal advice, and if we can wait a couple of months for the report that we hear is coming, only a couple of months, mind you, because I've heard a lot of rhetoric over the years, Mr. Deputy Mayor, about intent and we're going to do something, and a lot of gunners, and nothing happens. So, you know, something tells me that towards the end of the year, maybe we will be well and truly placed to push on. And something tells me, Mr. Deputy Mayor, that we are going to have to do it ourselves. We've got the local member, Mr. Spears, and the Minister telling us we need to develop our own bylaw, because we actually moved a motion to seek to get a statewide bylaw. And he said, oh, no, you go and do it. Now, the incredible issue with that is that the caps don't actually respect council boundaries.
Councillor, we have hit time, but if you can wrap up.
If the cats are actually on the other side of South Road, it doesn't mean they're not going to come across South Road and do a bit of free rein grazing in the new national park that Mr. Spears wants to set up. So, you know, but look, you know, if we have to make the point, Mr. Deputy Mayor, have our own bylaw, we should, and I think we will.
Thank you, Councillor. Look, if we can keep the discussion at the moment to the actual consultation that's in front of us, were there any other speakers against? No, that being the case, I'll hand to Councillor Valescu to wrap up.
I think we do need to note that whilst there is a firm majority for one of the, well, obviously in favour of the legislation or the bylaw, I think it's important to actually look at what the concerns are for those that don't support it, to see that implementation of any bylaw and any feedback we provide to any state laws takes that into account, because there may be opportunities to actually address some of those concerns and also look at where we can provide some assistance and partnerships. So for those people that are looking to do cat containment on their property but are unable to do so, whether we are able to facilitate any sort of support through that with other external parties.
Thank you, Councillor Valescu. I'll put that one to the vote. All those in favour? All those against? I declare that carried by majority. Thank you, members. Moving along, as per previously, we have, again, we have adjusted that sequence of items for this evening. So the next one that I would like to call forward would be what is listed, at least, as the confidential item. So the cover report, at least initially, on cat curfew bylaw update. Councillor Valescu, you wish to move? Councillor Valescu has moved that we move into confidence. That is procedural motion. Councillor Telfer, you second. Councillor Hull?
Speaking against it.
This is a procedural motion to move into confidence, is it not?
No, it's not at all. Of course I can speak against it.
Sure. Yep, okay.
Mr. Deputy Mayor, I've already touched on reasons why. If it's purely based on legal advice, and we haven't even...
Just, Councillor Hull, please forgive me for a moment. Just be very careful about... The item that we do have in front of us at the moment, technically at the moment, right now, is listed as a confidential item. So just be very careful with not mentioning anything within that report as of right now.
Yeah, of course.
Yes, thank you.
But you've already told us that it evolves around legal advice in the report as the reasons why this is going into confidence. And I'm sticking to the issue at hand, the motion about going into confidence. Now, we haven't even asked that lawyer... or that legal company, whether they're happy for that advice to be made public. The public has paid for it. We are talking about cats. We're not talking about a new council venture or building a new community centre and there's tenders involved. We're talking about cat management. And I struggle with the notion that this is confidential. You know, like, we're confining the debate, but we're not confining the cats. Oddly enough, but we're very good at confining the debate, and I take issue with that. And two meetings in a row, like I said, I've raised concern about matters going to confidence, because I don't think it actually passes the pub test to actually go into confidence. For all the reasons I've explained, and I won't take up any more of your time.
Thank you, Councillor Hull. Look, the advice that I've had from staff is that, you know, there is potentially some sensitive legal advice in there. Now, what we can do is we can consider this item in confidence, as has been moved and seconded, and if within the resolution that comes out at the end of that confidential item, Council can choose to release that advice or just release the minutes, as is usually the case. But we can, as through the course of that motion, that if it is endorsed to go into confidence, we can then release that within the minutes. Councillor Crosland, do you have a question? Yeah.
Look, I understand the importance of keeping legal advice in confidence, but I had a question for staff. Is there a possibility we can go into confidence to talk about the legal advice, come out of that confidence, and then actually do the debate on the bylaw? Can't we split the two things?
I'll take advice on that one. Thank you, Ms. McKenzie. Look, I think the advice that I've had from governance is that it's probably, rather than skipping around the edges of is this confidential, is this not confidential during the debate, would be the advice that I've received is the best move would be to move into confidence and then possibly move out later on if it so fits. Had it moved and seconded, I don't think there's need for any further debate on that. All those in favour? And I count one. No, leave your hands up. Sorry, I'm a bit different to the other boss. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yep. All those against? I declare that carried. Thank you, members. Division? Okay. All those who are in favour, please stand. Oh, a procedural motion. We don't do divisions for procedural. I'll take the division. Fine. All those in favour, please stand. Thank you, members. You may take your seats. Members of the gallery, that means that with the exception of those listed within the confidential report, we'll need to clear the gallery for the next little while. I'm not sure exactly how long we'll be in confidence for, but we will be opening the doors in the not-too-distant future. Thank you. To members of the gallery, we have, as you're well aware, you've been sitting out in the foyer for a while, we have met in confidence, we have considered our CAT bylaw provisions. I can advise in regard to the... I cannot provide the legal advice that we received, but I can provide advice in regard to the resolution that was developed by Council. So Council has received and noted the report, including the confidential legal advice. Council has endorsed the administration to write to the Dog and Cat Management Board and State Government for amendments to the Dog and Cat Management Act of 2017 and associated regulations to put beyond doubt the Council's power to make a bylaw dealing with the subject matter. And Council has endorsed the administration to delay making the bylaw until formal correspondence is received from the Dog and Cat Management Board outlining its position and to present an updated report back to the Council after the correspondence has been received, which we've requested that to be November of 2019. So if anyone wants to stick around for the rest of the Council meeting, you're more than welcome to, but there won't be any more items in relation to cat management or cat bylaws for this evening. So thank you for anyone who has come along for those items, and you're welcome to stick around. It's free entertainment, but you're welcome to go as well if you wish. Members, moving along, we now get back to our regular agenda. Petitions, there are nil. Committee recommendations, there are nil. Corporate reports for decision. Our first item is the mobile food vendor location rules. Now, this is specifically in regard to the state government moving a new act, and we subsequently therefore have to adopt location rules and fees to be able to regulate against that act. So Do I have a mover, Councillor Crosland? Are you willing to move something?
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. I'd like to move as printed. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Crosland. You didn't wish to speak? No? Okay. Do I have a seconder for that? Councillor Duncan? Yes? Did you wish to speak? No? Do I have anyone speaking against the motion? Question for Councillor Hull?
Given that this is the first time we've done this, but to my knowledge about, you know, designating...
It's quite an interesting one, isn't it?
It is. Obviously, there's opportunity for us to review that going forward, and if we observe a location that's not suitable or one that could be suitable, we can amend this as we go along?
Yes.
Okay.
And, in short.
And just for clarity, Councillor Crosland brought my attention to the fact that this is only for locations on roadways. Those in reserves, like Oakland's Estate, for example, are not part of the brief of this report.
That's my understanding. Yes, I'm getting a nod from Ms Harvey. Was there anyone speaking against this motion? Councillor Valescu, you wish to speak against?
I've just got a question. Just the location that we've got for Reserve Street, I'm just actually wondering if that's a little bit too precarious, because you don't have much room from the... well, there's a bus stop just before the driveway. There's not a lot of room before we get to a roundabout. And it may be better for us to look at options in on our property if we do want to have something there.
I'll throw to our staff.
Have to remove it from the... Are we approving the locations or...?
In my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, we are actually approving locations this evening, are we not?
We're also, sorry, let me just get the resolution back up. Yeah. Through the Chair, we're also authorising the Chief Executive to make minor amendments to the locations, so we could do that.
Of course, yes. Yeah. So, Councillor Valescu, you're happy to progress on that basis, knowing that if, you know, if we do need to make adjustments because it's a bit close to an intersection or not, you know, amenable for some reason as we actually progress with it, that Mr Scull can make adjustments as he sees fit. Happy with that? Yep, okay. Was there anyone speaking against? Okay. Critical question? Okay.
I see in the report it talks about a food passport. I'm not sure who issues that, but given that we are actually going to get some revenue with this, and it does concern me that mobile facilities might not have the opportunity for hand washing facilities like a shop or a cafe, can I get some guidance from the staff as to how we're going to actually, one, issue food passports, and I'd like to know whether those passports are actually passports and go across council boundaries, I'd imagine. And to be a passport. And the other thing is, will these food vans be visited on a frequency that similar to what a cafe or a restaurant would in our city?
Yes, I believe there's an immigration gate as you go into Holdfast Bay.
Thank you, through the Chair. I just have to seek some advice from Ms Karpu, if you could pop up.
There'd be a more upmarket menu in Holdfast Bay, Mr Deputy Mayor.
Thank you, through the Chair. Unfortunately, this area is managed by our environmental health team, and we would have to seek advice from them around the visitation rights and the passport applications, which we can certainly bring that back to Council.
Actually, could we possibly enter that on the questions on notice register? Is that what you were going to ask, Councillor Hull? Yeah, great, thank you. Now, come back to it. Was there anyone speaking against it? No? Great. In that case, we don't need to close, I don't think. I'll put that straight to the vote. All those in favour? And I declare that carried unanimously. Thank you, members. Let's move on.